When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, you guys. Welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. I hope you're having such a good day. I'm your host, Carolina. If you guys are new around here, welcome. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. I am so excited to be introducing today's guest because this episode feels like a manifestation of sorts. A couple of weeks ago, I did a poll on my Instagram. I think it was almost a month ago. And I asked you guys what podcast topics you wanted to see on the show, as well as what people you wanted me to interview, different guests requests you had. And one of you guys said that you wanted me to interview the creator, the model, Son of Lute. And a few days, or like around a week after this poll that I did, I was chatting with Sana on Instagram via DMs. She invited me to an event that she was organizing for New York Fashion Week. And I was like, oh, sadly, I'll be out of town, but I'll be back that same week. And I would love to have you on my podcast if you are open to it. And she agreed. And so I ended up meeting her for the first time in real life. And we got to record in the studio that I sometimes go to. And it was honestly such a great conversation. She is such an amazing human being and just so warm in real life. And if you guys are not familiar with Sana, she is a model and also a content creator. She's been doing YouTube for quite some time, and she just shares a bunch of wellness content, nutrition content, fitness content, and she's just a very inspiring person. She is also the founder and, you know, the face of this really amazing app called SoulSync Body. And SoulSync Body shares a lot of different Pilates workouts. There's some strength mixed in there. There's a bunch of recipes. So it's a really amazing platform. I love her workouts. They're super amazing and just like feel really good on my body. And on today's episode, we kind of dove into Sana's own inner growth journey, what inner growth means to her. And we also talked a bit about how to actually find balance, especially if you're someone who tries to brush things aside and tries to pretend like everything's okay all the time, or who struggles with creating a healthy lifestyle for yourself. And we get to hear a little bit about her journey and what it was like to be a model and the reality of that, and how she kind of made the pivot into wellness and what that whole experience was like. And we also dove into a little bit about her relationship and the things it has taught her and what she has learned from her partner. And it was just so awesome. I am sure you guys are going to absolutely love her and love this episode. If you are watching on YouTube, this is just a reminder to subscribe so you can be in the loop of future videos and future episodes. And if you guys are on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can also hit the plus button on Apple or the bell icon on Spotify so that you can be in the loop of when new episodes are live. And also, if you guys have episode requests or just want to share your thoughts about the podcast, you can always comment on YouTube or DM me on Instagram. And I love chatting with you all and hearing your feedback. So with all of that said, let's jump into this episode. Let's dive right in. Let's get growing. And I'll see you guys on the other side.
Did you know that 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, it's time to make 2024 the year that you finally check it off the list using Babbel. When it comes to learning new languages, something about me that a lot of people actually don't know is that I'm fluent in 3 different languages. Because I grew up in Brazil, I speak Portuguese fluently, and then I also am fluent in English and in Spanish. But I also am currently learning how to speak Italian because I started learning it in college for my study abroad program in Milan, but then my program ended up being canceled, so I never really got the chance to fully learn Italian, which is why Babbel has been coming in so handy for me. It's a science-backed language learning app that was designed by real people for real conversations. conversations, and Babbel's tips and tools are super approachable. They're rooted in real life situations, and they are delivered in the app through conversational based teaching. So I've been using Babbel to learn how to order food, ask for directions, and speak to merchants so that next time I go to Italy, I can practice my Italian and also speak confidently. So if you're also on a journey to learn a new language, I have a special limited time deal for our Inner Growth listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off a Babbel subscription, and this is only for our listeners, at babbel.com/growth. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/growth, spelled BABBEL.com/growth. Rules and restrictions may apply. Ciao.
All right, we're live. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to be meeting you in real life and recording. I love your content. I love everything that you post, and your platform and your workouts are incredible. So it's an honor.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you for having me. It's
amazing. Of course. And before we dive in, I always like to ask anyone who comes on my podcast what their big three in astrology is, if you know it. So that would be like your sun, moon, and rising, or just your zodiac sign.
Honestly, I don't even know my zodiac sign. I'm a Pisces.
Okay.
I try to dive into the signs and also the human design and everything, but I think you need your like birth time. And I was born in Switzerland, and they don't put your birth time on the birth certificate.
Really?
So I actually don't know. So
okay. So you're Pisces.
Yes.
Do you love the ocean? Do you love the beach?
Yeah. Yes. I'm like very flowy in life, you know?
Yeah, I love that. One thing people don't know also about astrology and stuff like that, I don't know about human design, but you can know everything about your birth chart, like every planet except your rising sign, without your birth time.
Really? Okay, I need to look into that. Maybe I will discover some new insights.
Yeah, yeah. I love Pisces, though. I feel like so many people in my life are water signs, so Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio, so I love that. And the first question I always like asking people too is, what does inner growth mean to you?
Inner growth means to me becoming a better human being daily, and really being open and trying to improve yourself every single day, and being open for looking into your blind spots and taking action on it.
Yes. I love that you pointed out the blind spots, because I feel like that's a huge part of inner growth to me, is kind of getting real with myself and in ways that I can grow still, and ways that I'm not showing up maybe in my 100%, and then taking action towards that. So what do you feel like for you, it can be in your entire life or more recently, have been the biggest sources of inner growth?
Of inner growth? I think finding balance was a really, really big one for me. In honestly so many different ways. I feel in my own wellness journey, in my work-life balance, in my relationships. And yeah, I think that was a really big one that I've gone through in the last few years.
Actually, same. I feel like I'm still learning constantly how to find that middle ground.
Yeah.
Because I tend to be very zero or 100 with a lot of things. And to me, I've pinpointed it a lot to perfectionism and like just wanting everything to be perfect, whether it's like, oh, it has to be this specific way for me to get started, or oh, if it's not good enough, like let me just drop it.
Yeah.
Or even with like food and things like that, like overdoing certain things. So how has that kind of come up for you?
Yeah, I think kind of like similar. I feel how I've always kind of gone through life, which is the reason why I'm here today. But I have always like been pushing myself. I used to do a lot of sports growing up, and was very competitive with like acrobatics and whatever. So I like really love like pushing myself, always finding my limits. And I think throughout all those years, I would never take a pause and check in with myself, with my body, and just be like, hey, how are you doing? Where are you going? What is going on? I would just push through it. Emotions, I would just push through it. Nothing was happening. Like, I was always good. I felt I never had issues, never had problems. And I think in the last few years, I practiced, and I just saw that was actually one of my blind spots, where I was like, wait, I sometimes just need to take a pause and check in and see like where I'm at. And by taking sometimes that pause, I'm actually able to involve much better and show up in so many better ways for myself and then for my people around me in my work and my wellness journey. So it's like kind of like an all-around thing.
It's like learning how to rest.
Learning how to rest, yeah. And sometimes just like to take a break and like really, really check in with myself. Yeah. I remember years ago, it was actually my girlfriend who, it was like while I was modeling here, and my girlfriend sat me down and they were like, how come you never have like problems? How come you never have issues? And I was like, well, they're just, I don't know, they're just not there. I was just like,
yeah,
I fix it or I go on with it. And I just felt like that worked for me. But I later on in life, I noticed I was like, you know what? I actually need to dive deeper into it and like be open about it and see like where I can actually improve. Yeah.
Yeah, so wow, that is so much growth. Yeah, that's literally so much growth, because I feel like a lot of the times people perceive me in that way too, where they're like, oh, you know, you seem to have it all figured out, or like, how are you always doing so much? Like, I always, with the 0 to 100, like, tend to just be a mile a minute, and I definitely struggle with learning how to rest, or even like resting and not guilting yourself the whole time that you're resting.
Yeah, I think actually that is a that is even more powerful and more important, that when you're resting, you're actually just able to let go and just like have that intention of doing that, rather than like your mind just going off, because you're actually not in a rest state.
But exactly. But then it's like when people come to me and they say those things, I'm like, wait, no, like I don't have it all figured out. Like I'm actually not doing 100% all the time. Yeah. And I feel all these things and I can pick up on my own vulnerability and know what's going on. But it's interesting that for you is almost like, no, like I'm fine. Like there's nothing bad going on. Like I'm handling
and
it.
And I thought that was in that moment. I was like, that's what how I was truly feeling, but allowing those feelings to come up and trying to become a better person.
Can you pinpoint a moment where you realize like, wait, no, there's more underneath the surface that I'm not addressing? Like, how did you realize that was happening, that you weren't like getting vulnerable with yourself?
I definitely think I like started also to notice that like within like my relationship in a way, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, when you're reacting on certain things, like obviously it's always the easiest to react that like on your loved one or your partner.
Yeah.
And I was just like, kind of like, why am I like, why are certain things are like things like bothering me,
like, or triggers. Like
triggering me, you know, like I was just kind of, that was where I was like going deeper. And like, sometimes I would get triggered or like just upset or worried about like something, or and I think that was like a moment where I was like, wait, there is like something going on. And I've just like really noticed how, I don't know, I definitely think my past experience in the whole modeling industry, that I never really took time to actually reflect on, because I was always either on a flight in a hotel or on set, and it was just for years nonstop, like traveling different time zones and like just go. And I think that was like the first time, also because it was the pandemic, and that was just a moment, obviously, I feel, for so many people to just sit with yourself and just get those thoughts flowing.
Yeah. That's definitely what happened to me during the pandemic too. Like it was a pause, like a forced pause in a way. And then I think a lot of people realize it's actually really nice to slow down. And now that the world is picking up again, it's like, how do you integrate that consciously? When like the world around you might not be like forcing you to pause.
100%.
And I also think our relationships are literally such big teachers, because it's funny, I was literally talking about emotional reactivity earlier today. I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, and this woman was saying how a lot of the times we end up being most reactive with our partners or with our family, like our parents.
100%.
And a lot of the times too, it comes down to our own emotional intelligence and being able to be like, what am I even feeling? Because I tend to do that a lot too, where I'm like running around and I'm going so fast, and then someone invites me to something and I automatically say yes. Or someone says something and it triggers me and I automatically say something. And then it's instead, how do you understand, okay, that situation made me feel this way just now. Like, how can I not like say something right away?
Yeah.
And so it's a practice for sure.
No, it's 100% the practice. I think also I grew up with a younger brother, and he was mentally handicapped. So obviously for him, like emotions and like talking like was really hard. Mm-hmm. So I always felt like, okay, I'm like, I need to be like the bigger sister where everything just needs to be fine. But like from a young age, I did really learn how to like communicate and find emotional intelligence with him, because like obviously he couldn't speak properly. So I had to like just sense that out. So I definitely think like that has such a big effect on like later life, on like how I was able to, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. I also think like older sisters, like we're always just trying to hold it all together. And at least for me, I think it's definitely shaped me so much in trying to like handle everything and like kind of portray this perfection.
Yeah.
In a way, or like protecting the people who you love. So yeah, that's so much growth. And what do you think has helped you when you are resting, learn how to just like actually enjoy the rest? Is there like anything you do that helps with that, or is it still a struggle?
I think like setting the intention, like I think that was a really big one for me. Like before I would just like, you know, walk through life, just do everything. And then also with rest, I was like, okay, now I'm resting. But I think actually setting the intention before, like maybe it's the night before or the morning before, and actually it's maybe writing it down or just like saying it out loud to yourself, or just sometimes I make a little note in my phone. And if you just set that intention for yourself, it's just like a little reminder. And that just like helps me really to like put myself in like that type of state. Yeah. And then I think another really big thing that helped me a lot was the people who like I had around me and like was actually openly talking about this, because sometimes you're just processing so many things in your head, but actually talking about it with one of my best friends, Jason, my coach, and like and people I work with, and sometimes like actually verbalizing it can just like help you put your body into that state. And that's something like I've noticed that helped a lot. And sometimes for you sure. Even share it with like friends or one another, you can see and feel that other people are going through the same thing. And I think sharing those experiences can sometimes be helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And it like creates a deeper connection too, because you're sharing how you're truly feeling, and then you feel understood, right? And you feel like other people can truly see what's going on.
Yeah,
so that's really great. You also mentioned your modeling experience, and that's definitely something I want to kind of pick your brain on like how it shaped you and how you made the pivot from modeling to kind of being more in the wellness space and fitness, lifestyle, food. Can you share more about that?
Oh yeah, it's been such a long journey. So I've been in the modeling industry for about 10 years now, which is honestly crazy to say. I started my career off in Paris, where I was modeling, and then my dream was just to go to New York City. I was like, I knew a lot of Dutch girls there. I was like, I would love to like try that and do that. But my only opportunity to come to New York City was to do like Fashion Week and whatever. And I had been living in Paris and I was like 18 years old. I always had like kind of like a very thin frame, but you know, I was enjoying life there, like macarons, baguettes or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was never really like focused on wellness so much, or like health or nutrition or whatever. So yeah, I started to gain a little bit of weight, and then like my agents were like, hey, listen, if you want to do Fashion Week, if you want to go to New York, like you will definitely have to like look sharper. So, you know, they connected me with a trainer, and as I said earlier, I've always done like acrobatics on like a pretty high level. Mm-hmm. So like training and stuff was part of me. So yeah, I started like training and working out and diving into nutrition to go to New York, and I was actually like really enjoying the process of it. I was like, wow, this is so interesting. And I was like reading about nutrition and like getting books, and like I was like really trying to educate myself, and I just like really enjoyed it. And like I kind of like loved the training, because I was like, wait, this reminds me of like pushing myself within, you know, in sports. And yeah, I came to New York, and it was like a really big success that first Fashion Week. And that's kind of where like my career took off. And actually in a way that I never expected it. And it was, modeling is so like one day you're nobody and the other day you are walking all the shows, doing all the magazines, like everything goes so fast. And before I knew it, like in a couple of years, I was shooting all the campaigns, traveling, like doing shows, and I was just every day on an airplane. It was very, very intense emotionally and physically. But I think at that point, it was almost like I had the mindset from top sport, where I was like, okay, this is just what I have to do to reach the top or just mm-hmm. do it. And I do remember there was a lot of pressure from like agents to look a certain way. And, you know, when I started mm-hmm. 10 years ago, the size zero was definitely like still a thing. I mean, it still is, but it was very, very strict. So the pressure was always really, really high. And I think in the moment, like I didn't struggle with like an eating disorder. I think mentally I was like pretty strong in that sense. But if I look back at it now, I'm like, wow, I was so over restricted. And not even about just nutrition in general, like the whole lifestyle, it was so unbalanced. Jet lags all the time, exhaustion, like onset, just doing all of that. And I think in the moment,
cortisol,
I was just
probably like through the roof.
Oh, through the roof. Lost my period for years, you know, like not knowing why. And I honestly did not have any guidance from any like agents, moder agents or whatever. I was just like kind of on my own. And I think also I was like not really reaching out for help, because I was like, no, I can do this, everything is fine, you know. And I always felt through that process I had to be grateful for all the opportunities that came my way, because I really was like, it was,
and it was something you wanted.
Yeah, it was something while. I wanted, and I was extremely grateful for every opportunity that came my way. But yeah, I did really enjoy, like, I just saw it was part of my job. I was like, okay, I have to work out, I have to eat healthy. It's just what I have to do to show up, like, to have healthy skin, to, like, look good. I just mm-hmm. thought, like, part of the job, okay, that's what I do. Because I was, like, very disciplined in that sense. And then I always felt more, I was like, okay, I started to build a platform, like, organically. And I was like, wait, I actually really don't have a voice, and I would love to explore that. And that's kind of when I started my YouTube and like vlogging my experience a little bit. No
when
idea
was
what
that?
I was
like
doing.
How many years ago did you start your YouTube?
This was in 2017, the BS show. That was the first time I was like, okay, you know what, I'm just gonna vlog this experience. And I like no idea what I was doing, but people like loved like seeing the behind the scenes. And my intention was just like, okay, I just want to share and like build a platform and see how it goes. And then truly during the pandemic, obviously when we got stuck at home, I really started to slow down. And I had a hard time. I was like very interested in the wellness space, and I kind of tried everything. I think on YouTube I was doing mm-hmm. like beauty and skincare and like wellness, and I was like, I don't know what I'm liking, but I was like, I need to discover. I've been working for the last 5 years. I need to discover like what I like to do. So
like
I just,
what sparks joy.
So I just did everything. I was like, let's just see and just try. And from everything, I was like, wait, people are loving my recipes. And I was like, wait, people really care like what I'm making? Like, this is, yeah. does not everyone knows how to make granola at home, you know? So yeah. I was like, wait, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got into like a whole YouTube there. And during the pandemic, I just like really noticed how slowing down just changed my whole nervous system, my body, my mind. And I was just like, wow, there's so many other young models in the industry who are struggling with this and actually, you know, are not able to, you know, conquer like eating disorders or like your mental health and things like that. Then I also realized this is not just an industry, this is
everywhere
outside, like
yeah,
everywhere outside. And that's kind of where I really was like, wow, I love the health and wellness space. Like, it doesn't take a lot to just, when you start eating healthy and taking care of yourself, you start to feel better. You feel the results within a couple days already. And
for
it's just
sure.
incredible. So I was like, wait, I'm feeling so good. And I was like, I want to share this with other people.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know this was a very long
answer. I love the story
like,
time.
We have to dive deep into this.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the whole thing. It's like every story is like full of like many different details, right? So I always love hearing the yeah. whole thing. And I think it's really interesting how you really gave yourself the opportunity to try everything, because like with YouTube, for example, and just trying all these different content pieces and seeing what you liked and also what kind of resonated with people. Because I think a lot of people don't even allow themselves to do that. They're like, I have to fit into this box and I have to do just this. But maybe there's all these other things
100%.
That you can discover in the process.
And honestly, it's scary. It's for everyone so scary. And at the time, it was so scary for me because I came from high fashion, which was all about image. It was the way you looked, the way you showed up to yourself, the way you dressed, the way you were publish whatever. Like, it was very, I was being told, like, it was very kind of the edgy time. Obviously, it still kind of is. They were like, oh, yeah, you're too pretty. You're too nice. You're too sweet. Like, we need, like, the edge. And I just felt like I couldn't be myself because they wanted to shape me in, like, a cool persona that I just naturally, like, wasn't. And I was like, wait, I'm, like, going to be less sweet on set. And when I was, mm-hmm. that, like, that is just not me. So when I started doing YouTube and stuff, I just felt like I could be myself. But obviously it was so scary because, like, the responses of, like, the fashion industry was kind of like, that is not really cool. Like, it's commercial. Like, the word influencer vlogger had such, like, a negative word around it. And, like, some of the agents were like, yeah, we support you, whatever. But it was, like, not,
it's not what everyone else was doing.
Not, yeah, it was not what everyone else was doing. And it was definitely, like, very, very scary to do that. So, like,
yeah,
I truly think whenever you're trying new things, like, we're always scared of what, especially the people around us, like, think of us. But at the end, like, you gotta live for yourself and just,
and yeah. It pays off, like, especially I think when you're doing something no one else is doing, it's when you get the most of that, like, fear of, like, what is everyone else gonna think. But also when you're doing that thing that's really unique, usually you stand out in a good way.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. Also, like, kind of like a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah.
And I like what you said also about how when you started changing how you ate and, like, doing things for the sense of, like, I'm nourishing myself and I'm, like, I care about nutrition and I care about feeling good, you started noticing that you felt better and that even anyone who changes their lifestyle in that way feels that way.
Yeah.
How does balance, which you said is, like, your biggest source of growth, tie into that for you?
Ooh, in so many ways. I think definitely, like, obviously throughout those years I was a model, like, I was very restricted. I wouldn't say it was, like, unhealthy, but it was like very, very restrictive. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't, like, have, I mean, what they call it, like, cheat meals or whatever, like, in the weekends or whatever. Like, I was just, like, to all sugar. I was like, nope, I don't have that, which obviously it's good to cut out sugars, but, like, not till that extent. So it's like
never.
Yeah. So I yeah. definitely think that obviously, you know, getting a boyfriend, whatever helps, because it's like, yeah. you know, he would take me into, like, bank, like, you know, we would go out for dinner and, like, do these things. And I was like, wait, this is, like, you know, sharing food is, like, making memories too. It's not just about, like, the nutritional value of, like, what is in it. And
for sure.
Finding the balance there. I think also working out to be on your tiniest or working out to be feeling strong and to feel flexible and to have mobility are complete different goals. So I
and, like,
think
the intention behind it is
the
so
intention
different.
Behind it is completely different. And I think that is something that completely changed for me. You know, I was like, wait, yeah, we should be working out to feel actually happy, to change your mood, to feel strength. So yeah, I think that definitely was a really big
for
big,
sure
big difference. Yeah.
I also feel like for me with my relationship with movement is, like, how do you just see it from the sense of how it makes you feel mentally better?
100%.
Like, the endorphins is just, for me, such a, like, it just makes such a difference to work out and feel, like, excited and to break a sweat and just feel, like, strong versus being at war with yourself the whole time. Yeah. That you're, like, on the treadmill or, like, on the elliptical, just, like, killing yourself the whole time.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, I would probably tried every single class in New York City, you know. It was, like, and the more intense, almost, like, oh my god, the better we felt. And, like, leading up to VS shows, it was, like, twice a day working out and stuff like that. And if I look back at that, I'm like, wow, that was cortisol level through the roof right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And how did you figure out the forms of movement that you liked, and how did that kind of eventually lead you into creating Soul Sync Body?
So I got introduced to Pilates when I started, like, training for the VI show, like, mostly on Reformer, and I actually started doing some, like, personal training. So I was, like, getting guidance of that, and I was like, oh, I actually, like, really, really love this, and I don't have to, like, completely exhaust my body. So that's mm-hmm. kind of how I got, like, introduced to it. And then during lockdown, I was like, wait, I had been sharing so many workouts on YouTube. People, like, loved it. And I was like, I want to get my certification in Pilates and, like, really dive into it. I just really noticed how low impact workouts really worked for my body. Actually, mm-hmm. I felt strong. I I got improved flexibility, a lot of core strength, and like I just really felt it like toned my body in like such a nice way without raising like my cortisol a lot. So yeah, I started doing a lot of at-home workouts, and I feel all of us did.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of how it all started. And I was like, you know what, I want to bring this to the rest of the world.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I love the workouts, and I like how there's a blend too of like some are with weights, some are just like with ankle weights, and you can kind of like fit it into your schedule and like,
yeah,
many different ways.
It's always evolving, right? Like I for a long time was only doing Pilates workouts, and now I'm like actually feeling, I'm like, wait, I want to add in some like weights to like get in strength. So like even like I'm constantly evolving there, because I truly believe that strength training and like using weights for women, like everyone is so scared to get bulky. And I'm like, it is really hard for women to get bulky. Like, it's not, that's such a misconception around like strength training, I feel like. And sometimes people also think like, oh, it's either all or nothing. It's all Pilates or like you're a weight girl. And I'm like, no, you can be both. Like,
yeah,
it's fine. And I actually think the combination of both is amazing.
So good.
It's amazing for your body. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like my favorite combination, is like doing a bit of both of those two types of workouts. Yeah. And then some like walking or running like mixed into that. But yeah, I used to be so scared of lifting weights, or like it just was not something I was into, until I started learning about the benefits of it for our body and for our metabolism and for our like overall aging, like as we get older. And it's so amazing just to feel strong.
No, 100%.
And to be able to lift
like
heavy
weights.
And I
also understand like being in a gym lifting weights is so intimidating with a lot of like men and people around it. I don't know, I just always feel
like
in
everyone's
the gym,
watching
men are
a little.
Like, they just feel they're allowed to go first on certain machines because they lift heavier. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I don't know. It just like always make me very uncomfortable. And I'm just like, you know what? You can also just do this at home with the good sets of weights and just, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly prefer that too. And I always try to go to the gym when like no one's there.
Yeah.
I just find it's more comfortable and I'm able to have more fun than if I'm like in a big gym and everyone's there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you also mentioned your relationship and like how that kind of helped you heal your relationship with food. And I totally think that like being with my partner as well has helped me so much, because he literally has no food rules. Like he just has the most free relationship with food.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, really helpful. Is there anything else you've learned from your relationship? I know you're also business partners through Nekohama, which is your matcha brand, and just got married. So I'm really curious to hear about how that has been a part of your growth.
So, I mean, Max actually plays a really big role in all of this. He's just been my biggest support. And I think at the beginning, I was like, he was working, when I met him, he was working with like musicians, with models, with YouTubers, like building social media platforms. And I was like, hey, can you help me build my brand? And he was like, well, I think you should start on YouTube then. And I was like, how do I do it?
God.
So he was actually the one, like, I literally had never watched ever vlog. I was like, wait, what do you mean? Start a YouTube? He was like, yeah, start vlogging your life. I was like, people do this? It was so new to me. And like, you know, I like, he just like showed me on like, hey, these are the things you could do. And like, he would like help me really right there. And yeah, I honestly think throughout the whole process, I've learned so much from him, like also around business and just like that you can actually do anything you really want as long as you have the motivation and the discipline for it. And he just like really gave me the motivation behind it to do it. And then obviously I didn't have a business background or anything in school. So I just like really learned so much around business and like how to do that just by being around him and hearing him talk and all of that. So yeah, he's definitely been like a big part of that.
That's so cool that he was like a big reason why you started YouTube. And I mean, look at everything that's kind of trickled down into.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I don't know. We've like always like joked, because after so many years, like, you know, he helped like several people. And I was like, you can't even build a YouTube channel yourself. Like, it's so hard. Like, you know, like, and I like challenged him. And he like, that was kind of the start of like Nekohama too. Cause he challenged me. He was like, oh, you're never gonna. I was like, we should do this matcha. Like in the pandemic, I was like, it's incredible. Like, we need to find this. It is such an amazing routine. It helps me so much. Like, I got off coffee. I was like, I'm feeling so much better. We need to do this. We need to bring this to people. And he was like, oh, you're never going to start it. And I started reaching out to like the farms and like people and his mom. And like his mom actually helped me like write the Japanese farms and whatever. And then I challenged him and Jason, our other co-founder, and I was like, well, if you guys like start a YouTube channel, then we'll do it. And they vlogged their whole experience of like building the company. It was kind of, it started as like a challenge kind of. They were like, okay, we're gonna do it. And they started vlogging everything. I don't think they ever posted it, by the way. But
really?
Nekahama was born then. So
wait, they totally should.
I know they should.
That'd be really cool to see. Because I think, I mean, also just a side note, matcha has completely changed my life too. Like, I still do like coffee.
You're a big matcha lover, right?
Love matcha so much. And over the last couple of months, especially, I've made more of a conscious effort to primarily drink matcha. And I just love the taste of coffee. Like, it's not that I don't like coffee or I think it's horrible. I actually really like the taste specifically.
Yeah.
But the feeling for me isn't comparable in any way to matcha. And now I love the taste of matcha probably more than I like the taste of coffee.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool that you kind of were able to take something that was so good for you and that you knew you loved to more people and like launch this brand with the two of them.
Yeah.
And the whole concept of building a matcha company to me is like so overwhelming. I'm like, where, how do you even find a supplier? Like, it seems like also like a whole journey in itself.
Yeah, I mean, we had no idea what we were doing, honestly. You know, we've never been in like the CBG space or anything. But yeah, we just started, and like you will learn on the way. Like, that's the thing I saw, I think it was a podcast from Ed Sheeran, and he was saying anything like success like doesn't teach you anything. It's all the failures that teach you something. And yeah. I saw this quote or this like little part of that episode, and I was like, wow, this is so, so true. Like, it's truly all the failures you make on the way that you learn. Like, success is just there and like you will enjoy it for a bit, but it's the failures that really
yeah honestly. And so many people are scared to try because they're scared to fail. But I think having that growth mindset is so important, like actually being able to get past the failures, because when you're in it, I think it feels really hard.
100%. Yeah.
What do you feel like was something that was like a hard situation or a failure that maybe taught you a lot? Ooh. It can be in any situation.
What was a really big failure? Oh my God. I made so many mistakes, I would say. What is a good one? I mean, even with like the matcha company, you know, like we had been working on like our chocolate for so long, and our matcha chocolates were like so excited to like launch it and like put all this work in. And we had a special collaboration with like a strawberry in it. And like we actually made that by hand, like 15 hours in the kitchen. And it was just, we were so excited to launch it. And then it was summer. It was so hot. And every shipment that we would send out just completely melt. And
oh my God.
All the like chocolates that we like were working on for so long and so hard on, and like our whole launch and everything. And we're just like, oh my God, we totally forgot the temperatures all across the country. So all of our chocolates like on the way would just like melt. And like, obviously those are like big like step backs in a way, because it's like, first of all, you put so much like attention and work and love into it.
Yeah.
It's a big learning lesson. Now we know no shipments in the summer, or like,
or like insulated or something,
with dry ice or whatever. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, those situations teach you so much. Even like, I don't know, sometimes I have this idea for a YouTube video, and I spend so much time on it, and I'm like, oh my God, this idea, da da da. And I spend like hours editing. And then those are the videos that perform the least well.
Yeah, that is also something I've really noticed. Like, a lot of failures where I was like, I thought the amount of time I would put into something that would, you would see that in the success. But at the end, it's not about that. It's like about the messaging that comes through, or the story that comes through, or the things that people can take away from it. So it's like,
and sometimes even the simplicity,
and sometimes really simplicity, that's what people are more like leaning towards too. I remember when I also just got into YouTube a couple of years, I built like, I don't know, what was it, like 500,000 followers, whatever. And I was like, wow, I was so inspired by creators who would make like with really good cameras, like really cool travel vlogs and like really high-tech video, almost like Netflix episodes. And I was like, wait, I want to do that. And I tried a couple of those, and I was just like, this is not what people want to see, you know. I put hours of work into it, editors, like used a lot of like resources for it, and I was like, we're gonna build a Netflix show. And then I was like, okay, this is not it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you try it, it fails and then you just move on.
For sure. Yeah, it's so funny with content creation, I think. Even like short form sometimes, like on 100%. TikTok, like when you're overthinking this video, then when you just post like a really simple, like cute TikTok. And do you feel like you've also been a part of like an influence on Max, like becoming more of a content creator and like sharing his own journey?
With Max? Yes, 100%. I was like, listen, if you, you know, if you're also one of the co-founders of like Nakahama, you got to be like front facing a field that's now like so important. Like it's the people behind the brand and everything. And he actually has a lot of like fun with it. And like, I obviously sometimes like to challenge him. I'm like, you see, it's not that easy to stay consistent and do all of that.
But
like, in that sense, we really push ourselves or each other and just like support each other in that way a lot. So it's like been a fun journey to do that.
I think it's really cool to like be able to understand each other also in that way, but then also push each other and be like, hey, I think you're not being as authentic here. Or like maybe you could do this or try this.
Yeah.
And I really love that thing that you did.
Yeah. And it's about like those blind spots, right? So it's not even just about like your inner growth. Sometimes it's also in work or like in life. It's like we all have blind spots and all the time. And sometimes it's like you're so close up, like for example with content creation, you're so close up and you just need someone or yourself to zoom out for a second. And like obviously your partner is so close by you, and sometimes it's able, or he's for me able to like help me zoom out sometimes
for sure
and like see things from a different perspective.
I feel that so much. Like sometimes I'm just all in on something and my vision is just like focused on it.
Yeah.
But then someone else from an external perspective can point something out that I wasn't even realizing I was doing or that I used to do and I don't do anymore. And that's why I really value just like coaching and like being around other creators and also like some tough love sometimes. Like I don't want someone to just be like, oh yeah, you're doing everything great.
Yeah.
Like sometimes someone pointing something out is actually better for your
100%.
Growth.
You need that.
Yeah. I also asked my community on Instagram for some questions. So I'll just quickly run through them and then we can do some rapid fire to close out the episode. So one of the first questions they submitted was, how do you balance the need to look good for your job with just your overall health? Like, how do you integrate that and does that affect you at all?
I definitely think it just goes so hand in hand. Because I definitely think, you know, with recording already all my like workouts and like doing all the self-care and like all of that, I'm like taking care of myself in a way. Mm-hmm. So I'm like getting that in. I also definitely think like, obviously I've like had thoughts about that where I'm like, oh my God, I need to look a certain way because like I'm an example and stuff. But I don't know, I've just been kind of like growing out of that. I'm like, you know what, I'm just here to like share this. And yeah, obviously I want to feel my best, and often when I feel my best, I look my best.
That's so what I was gonna say.
That is truly the balance there
for sure. I was gonna say, I feel like sometimes you can put all this pressure on yourself to look a certain way, and I definitely have struggled with that myself.
Yeah,
but ultimately when you are taking care of yourself and when you are integrating balance, that's when you glow the best.
Yeah, 100%.
So I love that. Let's see, next question they submitted was, you mentioned this earlier in the episode about not having your period for a while. So someone asked, how do you deal with hormone health and your cycle health now and while you were modeling as well?
Well, I'm still dealing with it. I actually put a video up, like, what was it, last weekend? It was a little celebration. I was like, yay, my period back again.
Yay!
It's been really, like, going, like, I don't know, in ups and downs. Like, I lost it for years, and then, like, I got it back for a year, and then I lost it again. So it's, like, been very fluctuating, and I feel so many young women are struggling with this. And I don't know, it's just, like, really tough to see that, like, our healthcare system is not set up to, like, be able to facilitate and help her. Like, when I just walked in, the first thing was, like, oh, yeah, maybe you should start the pill. And I'm, like, this is not the solution. Like, let's take, like, a look at our bodies and, like, let's go a little bit deeper. And it's unfortunately that a lot of the testing for that, like, when you do Dutch panels or hormone tests, are so expensive. But I truly think with making lifestyle changes is the biggest thing. So,
what have been the biggest ones?
Eating enough protein. I started upping my protein big time because I was like, okay, you know what? I want to increase my fat percentage because my fat percentage is pretty low, and that's often where you get that hormone imbalance. So I was like, okay, I want to increase my fat percentage, but then with that, I would love to also increase my like muscle mass. That was just a personal choice of mine. I was mm-hmm. like, you know what, let's just do that together. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start focusing on eating so much protein, like at least 120 grams a day. And I am not, I've never tracked my food ever. Like I was normally very like intuitive, mm-hmm. but I was like, you know what, let me just track like proteins and just see. And I just noticed, I was like, wow, I was not.
It's getting... so easy to undereat on protein.
It is so easy to undereat, and it actually blew my mind. I always thought I was eating enough protein and I wasn't. So yeah, eating a lot of protein, upping carbs, no intermittent fasting, so bad for your hormones. I know it has a lot of other benefits, but if you're struggling with your hormone imbalance, stop fasting, especially for a female body. Reduce your stress, take time off.
Sleep.
And sleep, and then obviously just like healthy nutrition.
Yeah.
And yeah, working out. I think that was it. Yeah.
I think that's like, those are the biggest things I always point out. The protein, stress management, and then managing like other things that could be increasing your cortisol, like caffeine, overworking out and under eating, yeah. etc. And the same thing happened to me many years ago. When I had my eating disorder, I lost so much weight and I lost my period. And I went to the doctor and they were like, yeah, let's just get you on the pill.
They just are not giving you the tools to like make these. They're like,
yeah,
making it's just this Band-Aids. Lifestyle. Yeah.
But ultimately, it's like if you put a Band-Aid and then you take off the Band-Aid, the yeah. problem is still there. So, yeah, I'm really glad that you've been able to kind of like make those shifts and get the testing done and just find solutions that have helped you, and yeah. celebrating the moments where like you get your period and you feel connected to your yeah. body like that. So let's do some rapid fire questions. Okay, I do these in every episode. So I'm excited to hear your answers. Just answer like intuitively, whatever okay. comes through. The first question I always ask is, do you have a quote or a mantra that you love, that you come back to frequently, or that you would love to share with anyone listening?
Oh, my quote of mantra. I love a saying, it's from Pippi Longstock, and it is, I have never done it, so I think I can do it.
Yes. I love that.
It's like, you should, like, if you've never tried it, doesn't mean you can't do it. Like, you should just try it out, and you probably can.
Yeah. Okay, I love that one. Do you have any books that have been influential for you or have helped you a lot that you would recommend?
Honestly, I've not been reading a lot of books, and it's like the one thing that I want to do for my personal growth a lot this year. I love the book Start With Why from Simon Sinek, but yeah.
Okay, I love that one. And it kind of ties back to what we were saying. It's yeah. like coming back to your purpose.
100%, yeah.
What makes you feel like your higher self? Like your best self?
My best self? Being able to spend quality time with the people I love, and yeah.
Yeah.
Celebrate.
Connection.
Yeah. Feeling good.
Yeah. I recently have been reflecting a lot, and I've realized how important connection is for me. And I've been spending like way too much time alone this summer because a lot of my friends were traveling. And I was like, whoa, it really makes a difference in your mental health.
Yeah, it makes such a difference.
So love that. And then the last question is, if someone didn't hear anything from this episode except this moment, what would you want to leave them with?
Ooh, don't be afraid for other people's opinion. You can do it.
Just go for it.
Yeah, just go for it.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was truly a joy, and it was so amazing to get to hear more from you and more about your growth. And I'm sure everyone listening also loved it. So can you just plug yourself, tell them where they can find your platform, where they can be in the know of like everything going on in your world? I'm sure they already kind of know, but plug yourself anyway.
Well, you can find me at Son of Loot, SanneVloet, on YouTube and Instagram. And then also Soul Sync Body is my wellness platform, and Nekahama, where you can find my matcha.
Amazing. And the app is on the App Store.
Yeah, the app's on the App Store.
It launched a few months ago
A few months ago
For the phone.
Yeah. But I would recommend going to soulsyncbody.com, and we'll guide you through it.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming. And to everyone listening, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.